Time is 7:46. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning. Rolene Marks, a very good morning to you too. How are you?
Morning, Howard and Zanati. And I'm listening to you talk about sports, and I'm thinking, somebody please ban me from all sports at all time. I was going to say squash.
You're going to say squash. All right. Well, there we go.
I know it's a shuttlecock, okay.
Right, exactly. Something like that. All right. Lots and lots of stories to talk to you about. Is Israel overreacting to the coronavirus?
Well, I must tell you, the other day somebody said to me, why is Israel so nonchalant about the coronavirus? And I couldn't believe what I was reading, because Israel has put in place some very, very strict laws and enforcement of quarantine and restrictions because of coronavirus. So let's take a look at where we stand this morning. We now have at least two more Israelis come back from the Diamond Princess. I think this makes it about five who have recovered from coronavirus. If you remember, the Diamond Princess was quarantined off the coast of Japan because of a corona. We now have about five Israelis who have recovered from their bout of corona. Having said that, it is having a massive impact. We have about 1,700 Israelis who are quarantined at the moment, some who have come into contact with delegations from East Asia. There was a delegation from South Korea who unfortunately had to leave the country, as well as other visitors from South Korea, because of the fear of the spread of corona. And then in an absolutely unprecedented announcement the other day, the Israeli Ministry of Health advising Israelis to please not travel anywhere unless absolutely necessary. And yesterday, the Ministry of Education banning any school trips abroad that usually happen this time of year. And who has been significantly hit is El Al. Headlines today saying El Al could face firing about 1,000 people, which is nearly a sixth of their workforce, because of coronavirus. We've had to suspend flights to Italy and to Thailand. This is at least until May. We were due to start a direct flight to Tokyo later in March. This has been possibly April. Flights to Beijing and to Hong Kong also restricted, and a lot of concern about what the impact that this could have on the nation's carrier. And I'm sure that there are other airlines around the world who are also concerned about what this could mean for business.
Yeah, I think the global impact is absolutely almost most incomprehensible when you look at things like when you look at the travel, people saying you know, only go if you need to go. People go, many countries relying on tourism, as Israel does. It's, I think, a very, very, very real issue. Can we just talk for a moment about Austria, because I thought this was an interesting decision coming from the Austrian Parliament yesterday.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Austrian Parliament now follow the German Bundestag. And I think there's something very, very significant about these two countries, who both have voted and passed resolutions rejecting the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement, or BDS as we know it. And they both governments say that it is anti-Semitic. And it's not just anti-Israeli anti-Semitism, it is anti-Semitic. And if we go back in history, these are two countries that know all too well where boycotts and the singling out of Jews lead to. And if they're sounding the alarm, and if they're saying that this movement or organization or whatever you want to call them is anti-Semitic by its very nature, then I think it's not just about Israel saying or claiming anti-Semitism. It's not just about Jews saying this is discriminatory. The two countries that were the catalysts or the places where the worst discrimination and persecution of Jews in our modern history took place are saying this is a racist, this is an anti-Semitic, this is an exclusionary movement, and we don't want anything to do with it. And in Austria, this was passed unanimously, meaning both the left and the right-leaning parties have recognized it as such.
Incredible. Very, very, very important decision. And what's happening with the Shulva ban?
Well, I just want to discuss a little bit more about this resolution, mm-hmm. because what they've done is they've said, what Austria's done is they've said, you know, if you want to criticize any Israeli policy based on fact, or and based on maybe individual actions, you can do that, but you cannot debate the right of Israel to exist. That is non-negotiable, and you cannot label and you cannot discriminate against Jews as individuals and the country. And part of this resolution is that they will withhold federal funds and what they won't cooperate with any anti-Semitic organizations or individuals, including BDS advocates. So it remains to be seen. Is Austria also going to instill a ban? That will be very, 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 very interesting. And the Austrian People's Party have said that this is a strong and symbolic statement by the Austrian Parliament against anti-Semitism and, very importantly, anti-Zionism.
But isn't that the inherent issue that you were saying before? Is it's the anti-Israel discussion is most often just rhetoric. You know, there was a headline in Arutsheva today saying, whoever it was, an ex-member of the European Parliament, saying that the Trump plan is like apartheid. You know, these are just statements. These are just words. It's just trying to evoke an image of something. You know, there's what the whole plan, or something's good or something's not good. Why? And I find that the anti-Israel rhetoric is all this, or mostly this. Instead of having a discussion around a specific fact or a specific issue that, of course, Israel might be guilty of, because Israel is certainly imperfect, as is every country in the world, and there's no country that is beyond criticism for a certain policy or implementation or anything else. But when it comes to Israel and this type of a discussion, it's these blanket emotive expressions that totally decimate the any form of rational conversation.
Well, you use the most important word. It's emotive. They know that just using the word apartheid is extremely, extremely emotive. It's extremely symbolic and very emotional for South Africans. And when you throw Trump into the mix, there's always a knee-jerk reaction when it comes to any action by President Trump, because he is such a disruptor. And we can have a whole separate discussion on, you know, Trump, Trumpism. Is he good? Is he bad? Has he created an environment for racism or anti-Semitism? Is he good for Israel? Isn't he good for Israel? But I agree with you. In order for us to have meaningful discussion, a robust discussion, you can't put out these blanket statements and not be willing to engage in any kind of discourse. And you're absolutely right. This is the type of rhetoric we see from any of Israel's detractors or any critics of President Trump, and largely from the BDS movement. It's bam, here's a statement, and we're going to just, you know, it's like a stealth attack. We're just going to drop the bomb and move away and leave you to deal with the consequences.
Yeah, absolutely right. Okay, the Shulva Band, they just won our hearts, didn't they?
Well, I tell you, when I saw the story, I wasn't crying. You were crying. Okay, see, I was crying, but like projectile tears, guys. Like this is so sweet. So we know the Shulva Band, they stole our hearts with their extraordinary singing talent and also by taking a stand against performing on a Shabbat. But one of the members of Shulva Band, in fact, the son of one of the founders of the whole organization, his name is Yossi Samuels. He's blind and he's deaf as a result of a routine vaccination when he was 11 months old. I'm not getting into the vaccine discussion, but his particular issue is attributed to that. But he studied one. Making. He studied to be a vintner in both Israel and France, and he has come back to Israel and he has created his own wine blend. He says he uses his senses of taste and smell because for him being what's the word I'm looking for? Not having his senses of sight and of hearing, these senses are extra sensitive. And he's created a wine called Yossi, and it's the first wine to have a label written in Braille.
Wow, that is just unbelievable. Unreal. Well done to him. Well done to him. An incredible, incredible story. In fact, I'll post it to the Morning Mayhem Facebook page. It is really worth reading. But quite an emotional story indeed. All right, lots of we only unfortunately have like 3.5 minutes. But I did want to talk to you about this. Israel, of course, going to the polls on Monday. I'm starting to see a lot of people that are very, very staunchly vocal about the support of Israel, saying, nah, you know what, I'm not so sure if I am going to vote. And one particular person says, I'm not voting this time, don't at me. In other words, don't. And other people in response are saying, don't worry, you'll take it up again on the 5th or the 6th election. Somebody else saying, what a shame, I think your 4th vote is free if you have 3 votes. So obviously Israelis are being quite flippant about it, but it underlies a very, very real concern.
Well, I think we all are suffering from election fatigue at the moment. These elections are probably, ironically, the most important elections that people need to come out and vote for, because there are parties that perhaps we don't want, or we want to break their stronghold, that are encouraging their followers, their supporters, to come out in droves. And if we don't have the major parties, their electorate, their constituents coming out to vote, we could see some massive upsets in who wins the election. But I can totally understand that. I mean, even these elections have been quiet. We only heard from Avigdor Lieberman yesterday, Howard. I was worried. I was concerned. I was like, where is our Avigdor? Where is our kingmaker? You know, it's not an election unless he is putting his foot in his mouth. Absolutely. Or trying to make predictions, which he eventually did yesterday, and now I feel safe and secure, and I'm ready to give my vote on Monday, which I absolutely will be doing. But he said yesterday he's not prepared to sit in a unity government with Netanyahu. He doesn't think, in his opinion, Gantz is ready quite yet. And people are saying, oh, come on, Avigdor, you're going to put us to a 4th election. And the worry with that is that if we do have deadlock, people are just going to stop voting. And we actually can't afford for that to happen. We need a working government. You know, budgets are frozen, very important budgets that we need enforced and expedited, budgets like the educational ministry and various others, the health ministry also very, very important, especially as we sit where we are with this threat of corona. So really, every Israeli out there who's listening, and I know there are a lot of us, guys, I know we are all tired of this nonsense, and we're tired. Okay, maybe we're not tired of the day off, but please get out there and vote on Monday. And maybe because we've moved it from Monday to Tuesday, Howard, we will have a better result. I mean, here's hoping. Maybe it's like, what do they call it? Feng Shui.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe it's like electoral Feng Shui, that if we move days, people will come out and vote.
Well, before I let you go,
but guys, we have to vote.
Gimple says, please can you ask Raleen what comes after the 3rd ice cream? Oh dear. Yeah. Well, we'll have to see what happens. The line is really, really a poor one. I do apologize for this. It hasn't been easy. Raleen Marks, great chatting to you as always. We'll catch you next week. I hope you have a great weekend and a Shabbat Shalom. It is 8 o'clock.